It is so wonderful to see each and every one of your faces this morning. Thankful for our time in worship, and I'm hoping that as we continue to open our hearts to God, that He will continue to bless us as He already has. His promise is made true in our own redemption, and certainly the hope of heaven is a great driver for each of us as we look to strengthening and building a relationship with each other and with God. Today, the world recognizes and acknowledges a reality of God's plans, and that we praise and honor mothers today. It's Mother's Day, and I think hopefully nobody forgot. If you did, you've got a few minutes before, after services, after our second Bible class, you can sneak home, make the phone call, sneak home over to a store somewhere and make up for that oversight, but I'm guessing that nobody did that today. But if you did, this is your last chance. I think I told someone this morning, you know, they mentioned Mother's Day to me, that I said, for Mother's Day for me was not passing out. That was my big goal on becoming part of in that role. And then that really was a big sustainment for me in the process of our family having children, was to be present and awake and alert for the experience. When we think about the way in which God redefined relationships after the garden. A lot changed from step one in His plan and purpose for man and step two. Step one, we get back at the very beginning and you see man and women presented to us in a companionship role that still extends beyond that, but there were certainly some shifts there, some adjustments into looking at that relationship, which, by the way, God had a full part of from the beginning. Even with the fall of man shifting the table a little bit, it's always been God's plan that mothers have an integral role in all of His work. And if we begin to kind of think about it and think about the Bible's interaction, and by the way, whenever we say the Bible, we're talking about God's message, not the physical book. And even more than that, we're thinking about God's ideas. The things, the concepts, the perspectives that He wants us to know about ourselves, about our creation, about Him. And so that's a real generic phrase, the Bible, where we're talking about what He knows and what He's relayed to us, God's Word to men. And I think one of the first things that we'll have to pay attention to when we talk about the idea of God's intentions, God's thoughts, and motherhood, is to acknowledge what the world does. Women need to be honored because God honored them. Just as much as when we assemble for worship and we gather together to offer praise to God, He has done that in very specific and intentional ways in regards to His look to this role. It began perhaps in the confines of the first home that we've already mentioned. We are reminded that though Eve was not first formed, that was Adam, God then provided context and understanding to know that Adam by himself was not perfect. You understand that's what the Bible uses as an idea? You ever heard anybody say, look or encounter someone and say, well, you know, if they would get married, a woman would really help fix that guy. You ever encountered that? I'll tell you straight up, every guy I've been met around who has been married, but even the day after that marriage, he's better. And it doesn't mean that he wasn't great beforehand. He was made perfect because the Bible uses the idea of perfection with completeness. Because in God's eyes, perfect is complete. The puzzle pieces are all there. And so from the very beginning, Adam recognized that in absence of something else, a companion, he was not complete. He was imperfect. There was something missing. And God provided the first step of that in Genesis in chapter 2. Out of the ground is where the Lord God had formed every beast of the field. And in Adam, there was not a suitable helpmeet. And so as it closes out, verses 19 to 25, he acknowledges and recognizes that this bone that had been part of him, that became his flesh companion, were really one and the same. But they were one flesh. The man and his wife were together and knew no shame. God's plan then from that point forward revolves around the relationship of a home. Even in what we recognize are difficult times, specifically thinking about Adam and Eve after their fall in the garden, their redemption and their rescue came through the avenue of the home. The man called his wife's name Eve because, catch this, she was the mother of all the living. Her presence provided the doorway for the Christ to come. Her relationship as the mother of all of us. You know who our granny is? Our great granny? In many ways, we have that same tie to her. And even though we don't always understand all the intricacies of the idea, in 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15, God made this mention here, yet she, women generally, will be saved through childbearing. It's not about having children saves you. It's that God's design for women allowed us to be saved. They brought to us people, or maybe one, who would save all. That was part of his plan. Because moms are, and this is something that I think is really more of a truth than we want to acknowledge, they are the vessels of an ongoing miracle. You ever talked about the miracle of someone's birth? It happens all the time. If it happens all the time, does it seem like a miracle anymore? If it's like routine and regular? We are living in an age that is so amazing in many ways. And one of those things that is probably the most powerful about our age is the rise in success for childbirth. And I'm not talking about the success that people have a child. Is that both parties survive. You realize that that term infant mortality rate exists for a reason? So many hearts are broken through the process of childbearing in the pain and difficulty of that circumstance that we have forgotten how lucky we are. But we get to see a miracle all the time. An amazing opportunity to see a life created, and God causes that to take place in the presence of you and I. The Bible even gives us hints of that, just kind of surveying a couple of things of that struggle that comes forth in that amazing moment. And even in all of that, the promise of God still rings true that yes, childbirth will go with pain, but mothers often do so willingly and knowingly. They go into it and they go, yeah, I know it's going to hurt, but it's worth it. Beyond that, Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin, Genesis 35. The wife of Phinehas, with great spiritual zeal, died giving birth to Ichabod. And even deeper than that, you and I will sometimes talk about things as if they were as painful as a woman giving birth to a child. The Bible does that too, by the way. In Isaiah 13 and verse 8, they will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in labor. Because we can visualize and sympathize to maybe a small degree or maybe a large degree based on your own experiences. We see all of that taking place. We see the promise that God had played out in the pains of those we love. But we see life coming, which is part of His promise as well. Thirdly, I will suggest to you that when we talk about the Bible and motherhood in a sense of spiritual understanding, there is no stronger or richer educational factory than the home where a mother cares and tries. In the United States right now, If you are gainfully employed to the point that when you filled out your taxes this year, your income before all the government takeaways took place was $34,000. Does $34,000 sound a lot in the present economy? Like, that's a lot of money. I mean, back when I started working, it sounded like a lot. It doesn't sound like that much anymore. Do you know that that's 1%? The top 1% of the world? You make $34,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of the entire world's income. Does it feel differently now? Well, it still feels kind of poor. Because that's what we see, right? That's what we can recognize. Like, that doesn't seem like a lot because that won't pay my bills. Like, my bills that I've generated don't seem to, you know, match up. Here's the point. Top 1% is this bar that seems so weird to us. Did your mom care about you? She try her best, whatever her best was. Do you know anyone who lived in a home that didn't have someone who tried? Yeah. I know a lot of folks who grew up in homes where mom wasn't even there. Or if she was there, she was addicted to drugs. She was broken beyond emotional repair. She was present, but all she cared about was getting above that 1%. And she really wanted to be $60,000 a year or $80,000 a year coming to her pocket, and she didn't care about their kids. The recognizing point for us is when we think about the way in which a mother serves in that educational factory, which of us would be willing to give up rising above that 1% to have a mom who cared about us? All of us, I think. We know how important that is. God arranged a home so that young hearts would grow through the interaction. And as much as dad is important, and he is, very often the mother in any home has such a tremendous impact of it that they have phrases that remind us of things like the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. How you raise your children every day literally changes who they are. I'm not going to go into great detail because I tried to explain it to Jill and James last night and they blinked at me for a little while, but I'm going to tell it again. They only understood one word of what I'm about to say. That's my fault, and that was literally. If I do it better this time, then maybe it's on my end. God built us with a mind, a brain. Everyone knows what a brain looks like, right? Picture your brain. Now picture this, inside your brain, really super small, smaller than you can possibly imagine, inside your brain, we're going to call them tiny little trees, because they actually kind of look like tiny little trees. They're called neurons, but tiny little trees. All right? Every time you learn something, your brain grows a tiny little tree. It literally does that. Like, for real, it's new. It wasn't there beforehand. A tiny little tree. And that might be mom teaching you how to tie your shoe. Or mom wiping a tear from your eye. Or you learning that your mom really understands your favorite foods and brings them to you. Or mom teaching you right from wrong. And they grow a forest inside you of tiny little neurons, tiny little trees, that are there from day one. She's planted that forest, those seeds of understanding. And by the way, God built and designed that. We literally are fashioned by God to grow a forest of memories inside of our head. Keep that in mind when you maybe see in the world and the rest of God's creation, some mothers lay their eggs and never go off and see their children. Some animals behave that way. Some animals care for their children for a few weeks and then vanish. But in God's design, a mother's connection to their children goes beyond the day they leave the home. Because they've been tending the forest of their mind since day one. And it may have been those feedings that go on through the night that made sleep so rare And one of the two things mothers crave, by the way, if you know a young mother, they want two things, apparently. Sleep and food. So just keep that in mind. Young mothers, they want sleep and food. They remember the things of, and are willing to endure, changing those diapers, dealing with the illness, the sickness, the heartache, the prayers, the watching of the child through every step, because that's part of God's plan to enable them to succeed in the future. It's part of God's design. In 1 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 15, that same passage we already connected, it says, "Yet she will be saved through childbearing," but catch the rest of the clause, "if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." Even in the instructions given to women of all ages, in a broader perspective, you note this, 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. "So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary," which is the devil, "no occasion for slander." Does this home connection is important for all of us. And when a woman chooses to do God's will, she should be praised, because she's serving as part of that bigger plan. They do so in a very practical way. As we've already identified, they become diligent trainers. Doubt, fear, anxiety, failure, all of them are often the consequence of a lack of diligence at some point in our plan to get better at stuff. And I'll tell you, especially as we get older, we get a little impatient with failure, our own, others. And we kind of struggle with letting them do it a second, a third, a fifth, a hundredth time in an effort to get it right. But God designed people to be around us to have a heart that allows us to advance through a series of failures. Even in the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it reads, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction," and catch this, "and not forsake your mother's teaching." The duality of need in the heart of all of us that God understood and knew. In my case, and maybe in yours, my mom taught me a number of things by both her speech, telling me to do it this way, and her actions, showing me how to do it this way. I am very right-handed. Like, this does all the stuff. It does all the writing. It does all the complicated stuff with my fingers. This guy's along for the ride. Like, he's just kind of hanging out. Except for tying my shoes. My mom was left-handed. She did everything left-handed. You know what I do left-handed? I tie my shoes left-handed. But she taught me to tie my shoes. Like, the only thing I can do left-handed for the most part, but I do that. But she showed me. Mothers discipline us and teach obedience through persistent action. By the way, that's what God does in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 12. A discipline, an instruction of consistency was for our betterment. Every time mom said no, he was saying, "You need to hear the no, because you'll need that no. You just don't know it yet." Very often, a mom might be on the forefront of that role. They may do other things too. You ever look at the text of Proverbs 31 and you see that worthy woman and you go, "Oh, I am not," like, I'm a dude looking at it and going, "I'm nowhere near this lady here." But if you begin to break it down and take the royal trappings out of it, how many of the women in your life took on a second job when things got tough? You went out, saw a field and bought it, bless her home, or work with her hands. You know anyone who did that? I do. My mom worked with her hands basically with an intent to give us vacations. She loved her artwork. You could tell it because every time I came home from school, she was sitting in the chair cutting around on her pictures. But if you ask her what she spent her money on that she made, she spent it for us to go to vacations, to go have adventures together. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, it reads, "Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. And his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer yearly sacrifice." Even in the committed heart of someone who had sent their child to do something beyond them, She still worked with her hands to provide for him. Mothers cook and care. And as someone unnamed who may want to take accountability for this statement learned just this week, you don't even realize how much mess even just two people can make that mom picks up all the time. Most of the time without complaint. All of our ordinary tasks are learned by our examples often with our moms, from how to use the potty to dress ourselves, tie our shoes, to bathe, to brush our teeth, hygiene, even to keep our rooms clean. Because they have a role, defined by God, by the way, that asked for them to take up that task. And it's not easy. The little kid is not going to do it right the first time. More like I said before, the first 100 times. But maybe by 101, it begins to look a little bit better than it did by number 50 or 60. Beyond all that, and I think this is the most powerful thing that connects to today like day, is to acknowledge and honor the examples of great motherhood both in the Scriptures and around us. And the Bible shows us an insight into that relationship that is extraordinary. So I want to sit and show you a couple of things, both from experience and from the Scriptures, that I think are powerful for us as we kind of turn the table from some information about motherhood some things to be praised. Talk about Miss Letha King. Letha is a sister in Christ who lives in Palestine, Texas. She's actually going through the process of selling her family home. It means a lot to her, but her family means more to her than that. That's what she's doing right now. She took her whole family to church. She created an environment where all of her boys, every one of them, preached. They all found faithful Christian ladies to marry, and many of her grandchildren are either married to preachers or are preaching right now. Her quiet, humble faith even led to the restoration of her husband, who had been unfaithful for most of his life. So catch this, all her journey, even to when her kids were out of the home and most of her grandkids were out of their kids' homes, she was doing it with a spiritually unfaithful man in the home. I had the privilege to stay with him for a little while when I moved to Texas. I said, well, I should talk to Elmo and ask him what's going down. And so we sat in their den every night for about a month and a half, the Bible open, trying to persuade him to do what no one else could do. Someone far stronger than me had a hand later in his life, and that was her. A quiet discipline, a quiet consideration, and God's timing worked together for his restoration. Her influence was far greater on him than mine. One woman, through her persistence, created such great opportunity. A mother then teaches the importance of worship by choosing to go to worship every time the days are open, the doors are open, just like we see in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 25. And you think of people like, I don't know, Timothy, grandmother and mother highlighted for their faith, not dad, not granddad. How many souls were impacted by all the preachers I know from the King family, or all the Christians we meet in the Scriptures in the first century, through Timothy's work, and then Paul? Ezekiel says, kind of like a proverb, in chapter 16 and verse 44, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Think about it in a very practical way, how the example of a mom plays out in the character of the kids. If mom is crude and crass in her behavior, are the kids crude and crass? Every time. Modest dress, sexual morality, language, speech, whether it be kind or unkind, how the home is kept, how the husband and the children are treated, is powerfully and prayerfully impacted by the life of the mom in that context. And there's one example I want to close with from the Scriptures that all of us probably are familiar with. I want you to think of the cross. And one of the things that Jesus does in the midst of the most important aspect of life for all of us, he's engaged in being the willing sacrifice for the sins of mankind, and he looks to a disciple and makes sure mama's going to be okay. Woman, behold your son. You think about whatever job Jesus gave to people in that process that was a hard job. And you think maybe being an apostle would be hard, or being someone who would be going on a gospel journey and in shipwreck. Anybody want to care for the mother of Christ after he goes away? Make sure she's okay? That powerful responsibility should remind us of how powerful God's designed relationship. Just as the forest of our brain is God's plan, so is the forest of our family as God's plan too. Not all of us grew up in homes where mom thought about spiritual things. But if your mom thought about spiritual things and imparted that to you, if on any day you praise her for that, praise her today and honor her for that today. And if you miss her, understand I miss mine too. And if your home has been struggling through all the kind of complications of life that motherhood, childhood, and all of that entails, and you need a hug, come see me, I'll give you a hug. I've been through some of those things too. And even if I haven't, you're not alone. God's design for the family includes roles that are amazing and powerful. And the Scriptures, God's testimony, tell us that motherhood is part of His plan from the beginning. And God praised it then, and we praise it now. And if you're on that journey, and the journey is not as easy as you thought it would be, just like Peter reached out to Jesus when he was sinking in the water, you might need to reach out too. We want to pray with you and encourage you. We want to offer insight that goes beyond our understanding and show what God revealed to us. If you need your sins washed away in the grave of baptism, we can do that right now. Whatever your spiritual needs are, come forward now while together we stand and we sing.